Why don't we join Joan Lewis, EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome, as she brings us the Vatican Week in review. So Joan, welcome back.
What a fun week this has been. I mean, marked by papal tweets. And
as one of my former colleagues said when Pope tweeted, she said they should have said, watch the birdie.
Yes, exactly. Well, it was all flashed on the big screen in the Paul VI hall anyway.
But it made big news, didn't it?
Oh, it really did. I mean, you look at all the agencies. If you just did papal tweet, Pope, Twitter, something else like that on a Google search, you would have come up with a huge number of articles in many languages. But this came at the end of the Wednesday audience. We'll look back, obviously, at the other news of the week, too. But this came at the end of the Wednesday audience, and the fact the Pope would be formally on Twitter with his own handle.
And in various languages.
And in various languages. And the new one also is at Pontifex. And then you have underscore ES for Spanish, underscore FR for French, and so forth. So there are a total of 8 languages. The biggest one is simply at Pontifex, and that's the English. I mean, that already has 1.1 million followers. And the total in all the languages is close to 2 million at this point. So, I mean, days, you know, after the Pope sent his first tweet. And this was all done in view of the public. The table was brought in front of the Pope after he finished his catechesis on the year of faith, a table and a tablet. What was very interesting is that the tweet said, "Dear friends, I'm pleased to get in touch with you through Twitter. Thank you for your generous support. I bless all of you from my heart, Benedict XVI." And it is interesting because there was huge support just right after the December 3rd announcement in the press office of the Pope's handle and how often he would tweet. He did tweet 3 times in the remainder of the day. So there was this initial one, which he did right there, as I say, about 11:30 in the morning at the end of the audience.
Which he'll repeat
and
on Wednesdays.
It seems that it's going to be on Wednesdays that he will have a message, but that doesn't exclude or preclude the fact that on a Sunday after an Angelus or another big feast day, there could be a tweet. But what is very interesting is that what he did in the 3 tweets spaced at the interval of several hours on that Wednesday, 12/12/12, the date, a similar date, a month, day, and a year being the same, which won't happen for another 88 years, something else like that. Anyway, at the end of the day, then, the Pope, or during the day, the Pope answered 3 questions that were sent to him from 3 different continents. The first one, how can we celebrate the year of faith better in our daily lives? And he said, and this is so amazing because this is 140 characters. He said, by speaking with Jesus in prayer, listening to what he tells you in the gospel, and looking for him in those who need. I mean, that is totally brilliant. And second question, how can faith in Jesus be lived in a world without hope? Answer, we can be certain that a believer is never alone. God is the solid rock upon which we build our lives, and his love is always faithful.
So we can look forward to more tweets.
Then. Yes, we can. And what they said at the press conference was that if the Pope does not write the 140-character message himself, he will see and approve it. So nothing will go out in any language. They'll all be the same, of course, any tweets. Nothing will go out without his approval. So kind of a fun day. And, you know, the Church has to be and has been. As soon as there's some development in the new media, the Church is there because the Social Communications Council works very, very hard at that, has a very good staff who's really terrific with all this technology. So, in fact, it was one of them who actually was there with 2 kind of interns.
You know, I think it's worth saying this because he was one of our former colleagues here at the radio many
TJ
years ago.
Thaddeus Jones.
Yeah. Jones, yes.
Yeah. Exactly. No, in fact, I put his name on my blog. I mean, he's a friend. A lot of people know him and have heard his voice in the past. So that tremendous honor of helping the Holy Father was his. And there were also, as I said, 2 interns from Villanova University working as interns at the council and a Mexican journalist. And the presence, just to point this out, too, the presence of both English and Spanish media people, that was to mark the Congress that had had concluded that day, Ecclesia in America. And, of course, the participants in that Congress, three-day Congress that actually began with a Mass, so we're going to be talking about that because it's important. It began with a Mass on Sunday, and the Holy Father spoke to the participants at the end of Mass. He was not the main presider. But so you have the two languages, the Ecclesia in America and the Church in America, not the Americas, but you do have North and South America, and predominantly English and Spanish language. So
Ecclesia in America,
a big day.
Ecclesia in America, of course, was one of the spotlights of this week, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and as I said, it was a three-day conference, began on the 9th, ended on the 12th. I guess if you include the 9th, that's really 4 days, 9, 10, 11, 12. The Holy Father arrived at the Basilica after the Mass on Sunday at 7 o'clock and spoke to the participants, and he said what any Vatican official, what any bishop in his diocese has been saying about the not only the year of faith, but certainly the new evangelization. Jesus is at the center of everything. And it's getting to know Jesus, living who he is, what he has taught us to be as Christians. That should be at the center of our lives, and that's how we're going to evangelize. And the Holy Father recognized that this can be difficult because as the original apostolic exhortation following the 1997 Synod on the Church in America, the apostolic exhortation by the same name focused then, as we must now, on the challenges and difficulties that present specific and complex characteristics. The Holy Father spoke about secularism, various religious groups spreading throughout the continent, giving rise to numerous problems. He spoke of the widespread mentality that tends to attack the dignity of the person, damaging also institutions of marriage and family. He highlighted the painful situations of emigration, displacement of people, or violence, especially when linked to organized crime, drug trafficking, corruption, arms dealing. And he also highlighted in his talk what Cardinal Ouellette did, who is prefect of the Congregation for Bishops and also head of, within that congregation, head of the Commission for Latin America. What was a central part of the Congress itself, of the Pope's speech, of Cardinal Ouellette's remarks, was the fact that the churches in North and South America, Central America, have to work closer together to be even more unified in their message to have this new evangelization work.
Joan, then the Pope received the non-resident ambassadors to the Holy See on Thursday, and they presented their credentials.
Exactly. That's a very interesting thing because our listeners know there are ambassadors from different countries accredited to the Holy See. When they do not live in Rome, because they might also be an ambassador someplace else, that's when the Holy Father would receive them as a group. He receives the letters of credence from each ambassador. He gives his own message to each ambassador about them, about their country that they represent. But then he gives a speech aimed at all six of them, problems that he knows might be common to their countries. And the new countries, the new ambassadors were from Zambia, Thailand, Sri Lanka, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Niger, and Guinea. And so basically the Holy Father, without going into a lot of detail, he did concentrate his address to all of them on education and saying, you know, social networks today seem to have taken over everything. The family doesn't seem to be there as a prime mover in educating. Schools don't seem to be there or seem to be dysfunctional in many, many ways. And he said, isn't it the dysfunction of certain institutions and services, public and private? Might this not be explained because the people who are with these associations have had an inadequately provided education? So lots of great remarks on education, and I'm sure the ambassadors will bring those remarks back to their country, as well as the specific message, which the Vatican does make public, given to each ambassador. As we close the show, we can look forward to the
To Christmas.
Well, the lighting of the Christmas tree occurred Thursday afternoon.
In St. Peter's Square.
In St. Peter's Square. The nativity scene will be unveiled on the 24th. It's from the Basilicata region, presented by officials from that region at a press conference this week, but only unveiled on the 24th. And then the nativity scene in St. Peter's Square is usually up until the Feast of the Presentation on February 2nd. And that's usually how long I leave my home Christmas decorations up, too. So that's when the season kind of officially ends for the Vatican and they take the crib down. So I'll see you next week with more Christmas news.
Well, thank you very much, Joan. And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.